It's been a couple of months since we were last in the book of Revelation. We got interrupted by the season of Lent. So I think it's good for us to quickly remember just where we are in this book. Because in the previous chapter, in chapter 15, we saw a vision of seven angels being given seven bowls filled with the wrath of God. And they were preparing to pour them out onto the earth. John even told us that with them, the wrath of God is finished. And so these angels then are a picture of the last day when all things will be complete. And here in our reading for tonight from the first part of chapter 16, we see the first five of those angels pouring out their bowls. We see here the beginning of the end. And Christians, we know that this is a picture of the last day because all of these judgments that we see happening here are complete. All of the other judgments that came before it, even the ones that were very similar to these ones, were all partial. You take, for example, the seals, the seven seals on the scroll. When they were broken open, they would only affect a fourth of a part of the earth. And the seven trumpets were often described as affecting only a third of the earth. So in other words, those were also judgments, but they were just as much warnings against sin. God did not pour out his wrath on the whole earth as a way of saying that people needed to turn away from their sins while there was still time. But now, that time has come to an end. These judgments are total. All the water, for example, is turned into blood. The whole kingdom of the beast is plunged into darkness. Time is run out. There are no more chances to repent. The last judgment has come. And for that reason, these bowls show us the end. They show us how God will carry out his final and perfect justice and judgment upon all sin. So then we look at the first of these bowls, verse 2 of our reading. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. So if we want to understand this, the first thing that we need to notice is who this judgment falls upon. It doesn't fall upon everyone. It falls only upon those who worship the beast, who follow after it. And in terms of the book of Revelation, that means everybody who does not follow after God, everyone who walks in the ways of the world. And I think if we want to understand this too, Christians, we should ask ourselves a simple question. Why would anyone want to follow after the beast in the first place? Why would a Christian especially be tempted to follow after the beast? Because they want to find security. They want to find some kind of comfort. A Christian especially might be tempted to give in so that they would no longer have to suffer. Just go along with these things and everything will be better. Just go along with the world and they'll leave you alone. You won't have to struggle at all. And so God's judgment that he pours out then is very fitting because they find the very suffering they were trying to avoid. God pours this out on them and shows that turning away from him has its consequences. God gives to them exactly what they deserve. Now, Christians, this concept of God giving exactly what is deserved, of the punishment matching the sin, is a biblical concept that I fear we've lost sight of in our time. We often think of justice as being something which corrects, something which rehabilitates. You know, if I pay a fine, for example, after I've done something wrong, then justice has been served. Or if I go to jail, for example, for what I have done, then somehow justice is being satisfied. I mean, you even go over to the state prison in Bismarck. The big sign out front says the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitations. It doesn't say the Department of Punishment or the Department even of Justice. And capital punishment in this state was abolished in 1973. So for us, making the punishment correspond to the crime at best seems kind of odd. At worst, we might even think that it's kind of cruel, that God is somehow being especially cruel by doing this to people who have done these things. But that's not the case at all, Christians. God knows better. He's not going overboard by inflicting this judgment upon them. In fact, he's doing to them nothing worse than the things that they have already done. This is why in the Old Testament you will hear this expressed as an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, or blood for blood. God gives to them exactly what they deserve. And we see this at work in the other four bowls too. Let's take the second one, Revelation 16, verse 3. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse. And every living thing died that was in the sea. Now this judgment is very similar to what we saw all the way back in Revelation chapter 8 with the second trumpet, when the mountain fell into the sea and it turned into blood. And as it was back there as well, the sea here is a picture of ancient trade. It was at the very heart of shipping for the Roman Empire. Ships would go back to and fro everywhere, carrying things that people would need, even daily necessities like the grain they used to make their bread. And it would be very easy in a situation like that to think of the sea as a kind of God, that the sea will provide me with everything that I need. The sea will provide me with my daily bread. People even worship the sea as a kind of God. And so God pours out this judgment to show them that it is no God. Their God cannot save them. Because all things come from God's hand alone. And God takes away the very thing that they trusted in, turns it into the blood of a corpse, coagulated and totally dead. If the sea was the blood, the heartbeat of the empire, then we can see how the judgment fits the sin. God has given them exactly what they deserve. We go on to the third bowl, verse 4. The third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. Now, this is similar to the previous judgment, of course, but there is an important difference here. Because the sea might be the heart of trade, it might be the heartbeat of the empire, but you can't drink seawater. If you want to be able to find water to drink, you need to go to fresh water, to the springs and to the rivers. And so God strikes these inland waters and turns them into blood as well. But in this case, God is not talking about physical thirst. He's actually talking about something else. Because listen to what the angel says in verse 6. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve. The world was thirsty for the blood of God's people, thirsty for persecution. Because the world hates God, and the world especially hates those who belong to God. And so they shed their blood in a thousand different ways, almost as if their life depended on it. People who aren't even satisfied unless they have made somebody stumble. They want to strike back at God in any way that they can. And so they are so thirsty for the blood of God's people, John says, that God has given them blood to drink. They wanted it so badly that God gives it to them. And it leads to their own destruction. God gives to them exactly what they deserve. The fourth bowl, verse 8. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. Now, there's no other plague like this one in all of Revelation. So if we want to understand it, we need to go back a little bit in the book. Going all the way back to Revelation chapter 7, where John sees a vision of God's people standing before his throne in heaven. And there in that vision, John describes the care and the concern that God shows to his people in this way. Revelation 7, verse 16. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. So in other words, God cares for his people so much, he doesn't allow anything to hurt them. Not even the sun is allowed to burn them. And in a more general way, Christians, right now, even now in the world, God shows that same care and concern to all people, believer and unbeliever alike. Because God still sends all kinds of blessings even on those who don't believe in him. God still sends the rains, for example. God still gives us a harvest from year to year, even to those who don't believe. And God withholds a lot of things from falling on people. He doesn't allow them to hurt them at all. I mean, he would be right to take everything away and to allow these things to hurt us, but he is so incredibly patient. He wants all to repent and to turn to the truth. But now here in Revelation, that patience has run out. God's mercy has come to an end. And so he takes away all restraint. God had given them so much and held back so much from hurting them, but they continued to turn away from him and to reject him. So the sun is allowed to become as hot as a wildfire, burning up the entire world. They will no longer receive anything from his hand. They took his gifts for granted, and they despised the one who had given them in the first place. So they get exactly what they deserve. The last bowl that we're going to look at for this evening is the fifth bowl, verse 10. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish. This bowl looks an awful lot like the ninth plague in Egypt in Exodus chapter 10. And in Exodus 10, God caused darkness to come upon all the land of Egypt for 3 days. And the darkness was so thick and so deep, they couldn't even see one another. And all they could do is sit there in that darkness. And God had poured out that judgment as a judgment against their gods. Because the Egyptians worshipped the sun as a god, even the chief of their gods. And they considered the sun to be the source of all life, to be the source of all light. They could walk in its light, and they could do everything because of it. They treated it as a god above all things. And so God took away the light to show that he alone is the Lord. That the sun is no god. Apart from him, there is nothing at all. And it's the same way here in Revelation. The people look towards the beast, they look towards the world, as the source of everything. To them, the world is the light. To them, the world is the center of all things. They could walk by it. They could find out from it everything that they considered to be good. The kingdom of the beast is their god. And God plunges this kingdom into darkness to show that it is no god, that light only comes from him. Because only in the light of God do we see light. Only by God's light can we see all that is truly good. God is the only and true center of all things. And this is why God pours out his judgment upon them, to show them this very truth. They are getting exactly what they deserve. Because that's how God's justice is, Christians. God gives exactly what someone deserves. The judgment fits the sin. And that's something that we can and should give thanks for. Because this very concept, Christians, of the judgment matching the sin, of eye for an eye, is the very reason why we are saved at all. Because, Christians, God's justice is the reason why Jesus had to shed his blood at all. Because our sins, what we do against God, demanded blood. God tells us that life is in the blood. And the things that we had done against God demanded nothing less than death. Nothing short of death would be able to satisfy God's justice. We wanted to be like God. We wanted to take his place, to turn the Creator into our creature instead. Justice demanded life, and life is in the blood. So only by the shedding of blood could that justice be satisfied. But God is also merciful, Christians. Oh, so very merciful. He doesn't want us to perish. He doesn't want us to die. And in his great wisdom, he has given to us a way that both satisfied that justice and showed us mercy at the same time. Jesus shed his blood for us. He gave the blood that justice required. In that way, God has both dealt with the problem of sin and also shown his unimaginable mercy to us. Blood for blood, death for death, life for life. Because of it, we have been set free, forgiven, and made right with God. So God's justice, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, is good and holy and right and worthy of all of our praise. And it will be just as good also on the last day, when God will finally deal with all sin, including those who do not believe. Because God will give to sin exactly what it deserves, a perfect and eternal justice, including that justice that he has shown to us in his Son. Let us pray. Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come, true and just are your judgments. We give you thanks for your perfect justice, seen above all in giving to us your Son as the payment for our sins. May your perfect justice be done both now and on the last day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.